shall come when morning dawns, and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills, and life to joy awakes. Not as of old a little child, to bear and fight and die, with glory like the sun, burning sky. No brighter than the rising morn, when Christ victorious rose, and left the lonesome place of death, despite the rage of hosts. No brighter than the glorious morn shall dawn upon our race, the day when Christ in splendor comes, and we shall see His face. The King shall come when morning dawns, and light and beauty brings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship at this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and make His footsteps away. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers, to lighten the darkness of our heart by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first lesson comes from Isaiah, the gospel writer of the Old Testament. That's what it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint heart, faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, and they'll raise up the former devastations. They shall repay the ruined cities and devastations of many generations. For I love the Lord, I love justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give to them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring of the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself out like a priest with his beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with beautiful jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprout, and the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. Epistle lessons from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel today comes from John chapter 1. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from John, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but he confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm unworthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across from the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the next hymn.
when all the world was cursed by Moses' condemnation. Saint John the Baptist came with words of consolation, with true our runner's zeal, the greater one he named, and him as yet unknown, as Savior he proclaimed. Before he yet was born, he leaped in joyful meeting, confessing him as Lord, whose mother he was greeting. By Jordan's rolling stream, a new Elijah bold testified of him, of whom the prophets told. Before the Lamb of God that bears the world's transgression, whose sacrifice are moved the devil's dread oppression, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins, who for our peace and joy will full atonement win. Oh, grant, dear Lord of love, that we receive rejoicing the word proclaimed by John.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you can get confused about who people are. But today the candle is pink, and the reason it is pink is because this is Gaudete Sunday, which in the we kept track of them that way. It was the word rejoice. And so today we see the epistle lesson talking about rejoice in the Lord always. It's a Sunday of joy, and that's why the pink candle in Advent is to be lit this week, and to remind us that even though we're not quite there at Christmas yet, there's time to rejoice because things are coming. It reminds us also that the Feast of Nativity is really on its way. It won't be long now, but it's easy to get confused. Sometimes we wonder, like, what is the church? It could be a building. It could be people. You meet people. We want to go to church. Those are the kind of expressions. And sometimes the same word can have different meanings. The church is not just where we sing. Some Sundays we sing with full and sweet voices. At other times, like me, I'm hoarse and wobbly. That's where I am today. Now, there's another thing, too, as strangely as this seems. I had youngsters in the congregation that thought I was Jesus. So they talked about going to church so they could see Jesus. And because I was always there, they thought that that's who I was. They were confusing the person with what the person that was representing. And so it was with John the Baptist. People were confusing who he was. Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Why are you out here baptizing if you're not one of those priest, then not one of those that are forthcoming. Nevertheless, the reality is that people want to talk, and they will find things to talk about, and John the Baptist was the biggest thing going right at the time. There's a country western song. You like to sing country western, don't you? Yeah. And so Mark knows it. Talk about me. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about number one, right? Oh, me, oh, my. I want to talk about what I like, what I know, what I feel. what I want, what I see. I'm talking about you usually, but occasionally I want to talk about me. And so John the Baptist needed to clear up the conversation that was talking about him. And so he needed to do this right away. He said there would be someone coming after me whose sandals I can't even untie because I'm not worthy to do that. And yet that was the servant's job, was to unlatch the sandals when you came into his place. But John the Baptist knew he was not the Christ, but that he was the forerunner of Christ. Now our hymn and a few moments ago remind us of the reality that when Zechariah and Elizabeth were childless, they lived in the little town of Bethlehem or thereabouts, close to the temple, because Zechariah was a priest, and on this particular day, he was in the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go in there, but one day you got to be able to do that if you were a priest. It only happened to you once in your whole lifetime. And strangely enough, they would tie a rope around the priest's legs so that if he got in there and he died, you couldn't go in and get him. You had to pull the rope to get him out. And that's crazy, but that's the way it was. You didn't go in to that holy, holy place if you were not the priest of the day. While he was there, of course, he had been praying for a child, and Zechariah and Elizabeth are getting kind of old, I think. I know they are, and this past the childbearing age, and yet the angel of the Lord came to him one time while he was in that holy place, and he said to him, Zechariah, the Lord has heard your prayer, and he's going to give you a child. And Zechariah, he couldn't believe. Nah, I don't see how this is going to happen. I got one foot in the grave. There ain't no way we're going to. You know, and so the angel said, you're not going to talk anymore until after the child is born. Remember, shut him up. It's hard to be deaf, right? And it's even worse not to be able to talk. So they did. And so at that time then, Zechariah and Elizabeth did conceive and had the child John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. About 6 months into her pregnancy, Mary learned that she too was going to have a child. And the difference is Mary was a virgin and she had not been with a man. And she said to the Lord, angel of the Lord, how can this be? And he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the very words that the angel spoke was the time when Mary was conceived. And so what is in you, what is going to be born from you, will not be from man. It will be something altogether different. For you're going to be with child, and you'll give birth to a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, because God is with his people. So Mary, once she got pregnant, small town that they were living in Nazareth, word would get out that she was pregnant very soon after being engaged. And so in order for her to, I'm guessing this part, in order for her to have a way to live in the community and not be disgraced, Joseph sent her away, probably. He probably sent her away. And she traveled down south from Nazareth down to the little town near Bethlehem, near where the temple was, in order that she might visit Elizabeth. And once, as this hymn just said a moment ago, once Mary, who is pregnant now, came into the presence of the mother Elizabeth, who had the child John the Baptist in the womb, well, it's amazing, but John the Baptist leaped with joy knowing that he was in the presence of the Lord Almighty, even though he was in the womb of Mary. And how did Elizabeth know? She didn't know, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to her, and she said, blessed are you, and that wonderful expressions that she said there. The reality is that there's about 6 months difference between John the Baptist and Jesus in their lives. So, as the text tells us today, it just so happened, or it happened, came to pass, is the way Luke likes to write. It came to pass, John was coming out of the desert. Why was he in the desert, and why was he raised there? Well, I'm guessing that Elizabeth and Zechariah had died. And so this community of the Essenes, it's called, that live in the Qumran area, they probably raised John, and they taught him how he is to be, not to drink strong drink, not to have anything like that, not to eat things that you normally would eat. You're going to be on a special diet. And of course, you know, any of us could lose weight on locusts and wild honey, right? Whew, I could lose a lot of weight fast. Weight would just drop off. The reality is that he was strange. And John had strange clothing. As you remember, he had a camel's hair suit that he wore. And I imagine that would be itching and all that. And yet, that was the definitive nature of the ministry of John the Baptist. So the text says that he appeared. And so he came from that community, I believe, aged about the same as Jesus. He was 30 years old, and Jesus was 30 years when he began his ministry. And so this was about 6 months earlier that John the Baptizer came out in from that wilderness and began to preach. And he preached not only the sins of people and told them what they were doing that was so awful against God's word, but he also told them about the gospel and how they should be repentant. And repentance doesn't come from work that anyone does. You can't repent. I can't really repent. The Holy Spirit has to repent for us. It has to cause us to repent. We normally are not going to say, well, I repent. The reality is the Holy Spirit works into our heart, and he puts repentance in our heart when we hear the words of the Lord spoken to us in such a way that we realize that we're condemned and under under God's authority and are subject to be condemned. But the reality is God doesn't want to condemn us. He has no intentions of doing that, and that's why he is going to send his son Jesus in order to take away all the sins of the world, including yours and certainly including mine. So who is this John? He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm out here yelling where people don't normally go out there where John is, but they were coming out to hear him. They probably heard of him being a good preacher. And he was out there day in, day out, and people began to come from the town of Jerusalem and other communities thereby and began to come out there to hear John and to be baptized by him. It says, confessing their sins in Mark's gospel. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by John. Now, Jesus also came to be baptized by John, and John later on, you'll see that comes up a little later in our scripture readings in weeks to come. But John says, no, you don't come to me for baptism. I should be baptized by you. And yet Jesus will say, let it be so now, John, that we, plural, might fulfill all righteousness. Jesus knew that he too needed to be baptized, just as you and me. So he gets into the water just like you and I get into the water of a holy baptism. So the best day of your life is the day in which you were baptized, and most of us can't really remember that day. It was a long time ago. But John doesn't really answer the people's questions. Who are you, John? He doesn't really answer. He ignores it. Instead, he says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. I'm going to reveal him to you. He is the one that comes after me. His very sandals I can't untie. I mean, it's a task of a slave to untie the sandals of those entering the house so they might wash their feet. He says, I'm not worthy to do that. The lowest task, it's not about me. That's what John is saying. It's about the one who I am proclaiming to you. And I baptize you with water, but one will come later, baptize you, and in the Matthew's gospel, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the Lord Jesus will come later on and make all of these things come true. John was clever. He didn't try to cause any problems out there. He wanted people to continue to come, He wanted people to hear the gospel for those who were doing things wrong. I mean, he told the soldiers, be satisfied with your wages. Don't you be arguing about them. He would tell other people, if you have two cloaks, give one to someone else so that they might have something to keep warm in. So that's the way John's ministry was. And people accepted that ministry, and they were baptized by him. And that's where he was doing that, was in the Jordan River. Well, today, how is this done? Well, the pastor stands before you, and he does what he should do. And if he's not doing it, he's not doing the right thing. He should proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to you. He should proclaim to you the year of the Lord's favor, and that your sins, though they're many, they've all been pardoned and forgiven. And Christ is the one who's going to do that for you. Now, you know, the disciples didn't like the fact that Jesus said, I came to die. In a few days, he said, he would say later on, 3 years later, he'd tell the disciples, that, don't you know that the Son of Man has to be handed into the hands of evil men? And they will torture him. They will beat him, to spit on him, all of that. And then they will kill him. And the disciples are all shocked that Jesus would say that. He said, but there comes a third day. And when that third day comes, the Son of Man will rise again from the dead. The disciples didn't fully understand it, and really didn't understand it until after Easter morning. Because you remember the disciples came at that time. They were going to clothe Jesus again, going to make him, embalm him better, take better care of him, put more aloe and things in his grave, wrap him up a little nicer than he was put in the tomb. But when they got there, of course, the grave was open, the tomb was open, and it wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let them look in. And when they looked in, of course, they saw that Jesus was no longer there. And Jesus takes our sins away, and he takes it and puts them in that empty tomb. And that's why Jesus has come into the world, to die for us, suffer for us, but at the same time give to you and me new life. That's a precious gospel. And John would be preaching not only the law, you need to do these, but he would also preach the sweetest of gospels. And the people were coming out to him in order to hear him. Now, it would be a short time that John would pass his disciples on to Jesus. And they then would, John would decrease in work and value, and the Lord Jesus would increase. And so that kind of happened like this. John would begin to come fading out of the scene, and Jesus would be coming into the scene. And Jesus took with him several of the disciples of John, and he began to teach them as Jesus does. He becomes their rabbi. He becomes the one who teaches them the things that they need to know about the kingdom of God. Well, what is it today? Well, I was in a call meeting where congregations attempting to call a pastor. And in the whole time of their meetings and discussion, not one time did they say this new pastor ought to be able to preach God's word faithfully and administer the sacrament faithfully. They didn't think about that as important. What they wanted is somebody could lead them in this ha-ha, hoorah service that they have. And they want somebody could do outreach and draw the people in, and his personality would be all that kind of stuff. You see, they missed the point. Just like John the Baptist, pastors have to be able to preach the gospel as well as the law to his people so that they might see where they need a Savior. And so when the pastor gets called to a congregation, you want a pastor like Pastor Hubert who will preach to you the truth of God's Word. Not something made up, but something that God wanted him to bring. And so as you see in the lesson a few moments ago, we had that beautiful passage there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's exactly what Jesus was sent to do, to bind up those who are brokenhearted, those who are broken, those who have difficulties in their lives, those who are struggling. those who don't know where things are going to end. They're scared. And yet, He comes to bring comfort to those who are brokenhearted. I pray this will be a message for you, that the church must proclaim the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's what pastors are supposed to do. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We have the prayers of the day. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church preparing to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that remembering John the forerunner's preaching of baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, we too may die to sin and rise to new life. And let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world would richly and daily forgive our sins and the sins of all believers. We also pray for Matthew, our synodical president, Michael, our district president, Robert, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ, that they may remain faithful and not to deny but to confess Jesus fully. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the children of our families, that every darkness would be enlightened by the Christ's gracious visitation, and that God would preserve them from dangers to body and soul, guide them by His word in wise paths, and keep them firm in the faith until life's end. Let us pray to the Lord. For all in authority, that they would be given wisdom and insight into the day when Christ comes again in glory to usher in His kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the afflicted, those with pain and sickness and trials and difficulties, remember Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galabas, Mary and Alfred Durson, Cynthia Schulten, Carl Roche, Cassidy and her twin babies, Raya and Emerson, Dean and Soon Saberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Petka, Don and Donna Tolner, and Ron Smystra and Briella Escobedo. There are more that are in our prayer list that need to hear that we care about them. We pray that You would grant health and certainty to our bodies, that they will be incorruptible and mortal when Christ returns to make all things new. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, as she eagerly awaits the return of her bridegroom, that she would not grow weary, but be strengthened through word and sacrament to ever hold fast to Christ's promise of salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the suffering and death of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in His victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from His ascension before You, where He stands for us in as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to You alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness.
Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, Thy beauty on Thy glorious dress, men flaming worlds in Thee array, with joy.
joy shall I lift up my hands. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay, fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. And I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Thou hast for all a ransom paid, and all a full atonement made. When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, this then shall be my only plea. Jesus has lived and died for me. Jesus, be endless praise to Thee, whose boundless mercy hath for me and all Thy hands have made an everlasting ransom.
Please rise for the Lord's order of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming Him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when He comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and singing,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of fountains, oath adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of His name, sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for You have had mercy on us and given us Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Your boundless mercy, You sent Your servant John the Baptist to proclaim in the Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that His body and blood given to us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim His death until He comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Pardon, heavenly peace, for I have seen you suffer of your redeeming grace, a light to fight and death unto your holy place. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now shall ever be, God's triune name resounding in all eternity.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you always his peace. Amen. Once in Royal David City.
childhood's pattern, day by day, like us he grew. And he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness. And his eyes at last will see him through the dawn redeeming law. Standing by, shall we see?